Now, back to full team coverage of today's real estate market. You are America's real estate investment source. Real Estate Radio USA.
All right, everybody, we are back. And as promised, now joining us on the program, she's a top producing real estate broker and published author, a speaker, and a trainer. Her flagship book, Sell with Soul, Creating an Extraordinary Career in Real Estate Without Losing Your Friends, Your Principles, or Your Self-Respect. She's the newest contributing author here at Real Estate Radio USA. Please welcome to the program, Ms. Jennifer Allen. Jennifer, how you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, great, great. We tried to get you on last week, had some technical difficulties, so thanks for rescheduling so quickly with us. We know we had a lot of people that wanted to get you on. I mean, I tell you what, your articles are probably some of the most read on the website. So people,
are you serious?
Absolutely, people are really responding to you, and great job so far.
Well, you just made my day. Thank you very much.
Well, anything I can do to help out, you just let me know.
Absolutely.
Well, let's start out a little bit. I mean, the way we talked about, we were talking about you earlier, I just want you to know.
Really? I wasn't listening. What'd you say?
Well, I said you were very, very cool.
Oh, cool. All right.
Well, we were talking about your thing. We talk a lot on the program about technology and stuff like that. The reason I love having you on and having you as a contributing author is that's not your thing. It's more of the sphere of influence, working with people and selling as a part of just with your techniques that you have. And I think it's great because a lot of our listeners are out there. I think they're really responding to this.
Good. Oh, that's exciting. That's the point, I guess. But yeah, that's great.
Well, one of the big posts you had, and I loved it, you started talking about referrals.
Right.
And how to get referrals and ask your friends for referrals without losing all your friends.
Right.
If you could, talk to us a little bit about that, some techniques and things you can go and work with your sphere of influence and talking about referrals.
Sure. This is actually one of probably the most controversial topic that I talk about, which makes it the most fun and probably my favorite topic to talk about. But the title of that article, which is probably my most read article that I've ever written across the web, is What's the Best Way to Ask for Referrals? ... Don't. And I feel strongly, and you're not going to talk me out of this, nobody's going to talk me out of this, that it's absolutely unnecessary to ask your friends or your past clients or your current clients for referrals. It's unnecessary, it's unprofessional, and it damages your credibility to do so. And again, people fight me on this all the time. They tell me how it works great for them. I always ask everyone for referrals, and I've never offended anybody yet. And what I would like to say is, you know, try not doing it and see how much more business you actually get. The reason I'm so against what I call referral begging is that most people, if they know that you're good at what you do, if they know how to find you, and it's real nice if they've heard from you lately, they're going to send business your way without your asking for it. When you go out and start asking people for referrals, not only does it put them on the spot, which I tell you, when my friends ask me for referrals, I don't like it. It has damaged some of my friendships because, you know what, there may be a reason I haven't referred anybody to them. But I don't like the obligation that my friend has just put on our friendship. Okay. But in any event, to me, when somebody asks me for a referral, especially if they ask more than once, it implies to me that they don't have enough business. Well, of course, I mean, we're all self-employed people. We would like more business. But I still like the idea that somebody I'm going to refer to has plenty of business because they're so darn good at what they do and they're so well respected. And maybe they even have a waiting list of people wanting to use their services. I had a client today, a current client of mine, send me an email asking if it was okay if she gave out my name. And I love that because she's under the impression that I have plenty of business, I'm a competent real estate agent, and she wants to make sure that I have room on my docket for her friends. That's the impression to me that as a professional real estate agent, you want to be giving out there. You know, the whole I heart referrals, I know probably half the people listening here, have that on their business card. And I don't think they've really given it a lot of thought as to the message that sends. And, you know, there are plenty of ways to let people know that you work by referrals without coming right out and putting people on the spot, without obligating them to it. And I could go on and on about this, but, and I will if you want me to.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, a lot of people responded to this because I think a lot of people overdo this, and mm-hmm. and a lot of people when they're hungry, especially in a market like today, you know, it's really bad out there for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people are doing a lot of business. Every opportunity, they feel like they always got to be asking for business. And mm-hmm. I think you hit it head on. Every time you ask for business, I get uncomfortable when mm-hmm. I'm in a social type situation and people are asking me for business. No, I came mm-hmm. out to have a drink with you.
Right. That's what I tell people. When you go out to a social event, leave your business cards in the car so you're not tempted to go around pestering everybody for their business. If somebody asks you for your business card, you know, you can certainly try it out to your car and get it. But, and that's not really what we're talking about now, but as far as, you know, asking for business, asking for referrals, it's unnecessary. And if somebody isn't referring to you, there may be a reason for that, okay? But likely, you know, they just don't have anybody to refer to you this moment. You know, my biggest referral sources, maybe send me a couple people a year. You know, the world is not out there as your prospecting machine.
Right.
So, you know, constantly pestering people to send you referrals, you know, they're going to start avoiding your calls. They're going to start avoiding you at parties. And nobody in our business wants or needs that. Something you just said made me think of something and I lost it, but I'm sure I'll think of it at a really inopportune time.
Nice. No, that's great. Well,
I know what it was.
Shoot,
I know what it was.
Shoot.
You know, one of the questions I always get as a follow-up to, you know, please don't ask for referrals, is, okay, well then how do I let my friends know
gotcha.
That I work by referral, that I want their referrals? Well, what kind of was drilled into me just literally today, an hour ago, when my client emailed me and said, you know, can I refer these people to you? Do you mind? Was I never asked her for referrals. Did I take the chance she wouldn't know that I'd want them? Yes, I took that chance. However, I'd much rather take that chance than take the other risk of annoying her or damaging my credibility. So will you miss out on referrals because you don't tell people you want them? Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. Again, remember, as long as people think that you do a reasonably good job, they know how to reach you, and they've heard from you recently, they're going to think of you when they think real estate agent. It just comes naturally.
Well,
my chiropractor does not beg me for referrals, and I send people to her constantly.
That's what I was just saying. I mean, as a normal course of our business, we work with a lot of professionals, attorneys, agents, appraisers, home inspectors. Mm-hmm. And if somebody asks me for an attorney, I give out my attorney's number. I mean, right. I don't have to call my attorney. My attorney's never asked me once, hey, if somebody asks for me, here's some business cards.
Right. And Barry, do you send business to people you feel sorry for?
Oh, absolutely not.
No. And that's what this referral begging to me, it's going out there saying, guys, friends, help me out, man. I just need some business. Give me a chance, please. That's what you're doing is you're asking people to feel sorry for you. And sorry, I'm not going to send someone to a hairstylist that I think needs business.
You know?
That's just not going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right. I would almost wish that I'd send somebody attorney or something. Hey, listen, I'm completely booked. I'm not taking any new clients right now. I'll refer you to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
My guy is so good, he doesn't need any more business.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's cool. You get it. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, but I think you're right. And I don't understand the traditional broker, everybody, work your sphere of influence. What do people mean when they say work your sphere of influence? I don't understand that. Besides going and asking for business all the time, mm-hmm. how do you work your sphere of influence? Hey, mom, dad, anybody right. you know need any right. real estate?
Are you asking me that question?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I've used that term too, and I kind of laugh when I say it because it does sound so kind of cheesy. But to work your sphere of influence, it simply means that you make sure the people in your life know that you're a reasonably competent human being. They know that you love your job. You love being a real estate agent. You're good at it. You're confident. They know where to find you. And again, they've heard from you recently. It actually, to me, working your sphere of influence means you don't assault anyone with your sales pitch, ever, ever. You know, you just, when you're at a social event and you're talking to someone you know, let your enthusiasm for your career, let that come out. Let people hear how much you love being a real estate agent. Let them, you know, tell a story about your career that gives them the impression that, yeah, you know what you're doing. You're not bragging. You know, you're not going out and tooting your own horn, but people feel it when you're feeling successful, when you're enthusiastic, when you're confident. You're magnetic, and that will draw people to you. Working your sphere of influence means simply saying, I hear a lot of times people, when I talk about this, they say, I don't have time for all this socializing. Okay, what is it you're doing? You know, you're here listening to me because you don't have enough business. So something you're doing isn't working. Let's try something else. And I don't have time to socialize. God, you know, life's way too short, you know, to say, I don't have time for my friends. So it means making time for your friends, going out in the world with a smile on your face and makeup on, you know, lipstick on, smile on your face, a sexy pair of jeans, being out there in the world with your antenna up. You know your real estate markets. You know what you're doing. You're meeting new people. You're pleasant. You're not annoying. And that's it. And staying in touch.
Well, a lot of traditional real estate training say it's really about a numbers game. Uh-oh. What do you got to say to that?
Well, it's interesting. When I first started writing about sphere of influence stuff, I kind of bashed the numbers game. I was like, this is ridiculous. Who wants to be treated like a number? And who wants to make 99 phone calls that, you know, where you're rejected so you can get to that one phone call where you get a yes or a maybe? You know, this is a stupid game. Why would you want to do this? And I kind of, you know, ranted and raved on and on about how dumb the numbers game of real estate is and how it's unnecessary. Well, what occurred to me on a drive across Kansas one day was that you can use the concept of a numbers game very successfully in a sphere of influence or a relationship-based business model. You know, for example, let's say if you send out 100 Bronco schedules to your farm area, you know, what are the chances that the people in that farm area are going to, one, keep your postcard, and two, think of you when they have a real estate need? You know, probably pretty slim. I mean, Right. Maybe one person out of 100 maybe will give you a phone call. Maybe two, maybe five if, you know, you're really, really lucky. Okay, so five people out of 100 responded to your effort. Well, let's say, just for fun, you sent out 100 personal emails to 100 people that you know. Okay. Or let's make it easier. Let's say you sent out 10.
Okay.
That you sat down one afternoon and you sent out 10 personal emails to some of your friends. You know, hi, how you doing? It's been a while since I talked to you. How's the puppy? Life's good here. Let's go out for a cup of coffee. What are you doing next Tuesday? Okay, you do that 10 times. What kind of response rate do you think you'll get?
Oh, with friends of yours, I'd hope you get near 10.
Exactly. You're going to get 100% response rate. Okay, 80% maybe.
Yeah, with my friends, maybe 50.
Okay, that's still darn good. Now, as long as your email is not a sales pitch, you're going to get at least 80%, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that mean that all 8 people are going to send you a real estate referral or call you up to sell their house? Well, no. No, of course not. Okay, so let's say, though, that you follow up and you go to coffee in the next month with all 10 people. You just touched everyone those 8 people know. So if all 8 of your friends know 50 other people, I can't do math, that's 400 people?
Yeah.
408 people. You just touched 408 people. If they all know 100 other people, you know, you just touched however many that is, 808 people. The cool thing, what's neat about the numbers game of a relationship-based marketing strategy is that when you send out your 100 postcards, you're on your knees praying that one of those 100 people has a real estate need. Wow. Not in your wildest dreams are you thinking they're going to call all their friends and tell them about you. Or if they're at a party that night and somebody says, I'm looking for a real estate agent, they're going to say, holy cow, I just got a postcard from a real estate agent. You've got to call her. That isn't going to happen. But when you're touching your sphere of influence, and I'm not saying, you know, your best friends, but if you're touching people you know, you are also touching everyone they know. And the numbers can add up into the thousands. I mean, in a couple months, if you took 8 people to lunch every month or to coffee every month,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're going to touch thousands and thousands of people by the end of the year. And how many houses do we need to have a good year? 20? You know, how many houses do we need to sell? 20, 30, 40, 60, 70? Whatever that number is, if you're touching thousands of people every year, personally, and I, you know, this is getting a little graphic, but if you're touching them as a result in a relationship, if you're referred to other people by a friend, that's a whole lot more powerful than sending out, you know, 10,000 postcards. So that's where I think the numbers game of a sphere of influence strategy is so much stronger than the numbers game of mass marketing.
And you know what I love about that? It's not like working. You're actually, if you like to have friends, you get to actually go and spend time with your friends.
Yeah, what a concept. And you know what? Here's the fun thing. When you're going out to lunch or going out for coffee or going out for margaritas, you know what? You don't have to pay. Because
what?
You're not taking, it's not a business lunch. I tell you, you know, I'm a girl. When I go out with my guy friends, I never pay because they're guys, they pay. You know, it's social. It's a social thing. It's not a business. And so people say, oh, my God, I couldn't possibly afford to go out to lunch with all my friends. Well, sure you can. Split the bill. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. You're just hanging out with a friend.
Right. Right. So, you know, you're not going out in your three-piece suit and your American Express business card, you know, picking up the tab so that you can give a sales pitch.
Yeah, so, you're hanging out.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing I've been wanting to talk to you about. And you mentioned in an article before, and I've seen it again. You talk about the value of wasting time. Makes no sense to me. You're going to have to really dumb it down and explain it to me.
Cool. This is another thing that I get a lot of flack about, and I love it. I just love it. We hear a lot in our industry, especially with rookies, but also with agents who aren't having the production that they want, that they need to learn how to not waste their time. I've seen this a lot lately, and I've written about this kind of obnoxiously, is a lot of agents are saying that they won't work with buyers, they won't waste their time with buyers anymore because of the cost of gas. Now, what do they mean by waste their time with buyers? They mean, I won't go out with a buyer who's not pre-approved. I won't go out with a buyer who won't sign a buyer agency because the price of gas is too high. Okay. Well, in my opinion, especially for a rookie, but for anybody who's suffering a little bit right now for business, anything that either, one, puts you in front of a warm body, or two, teaches you something about your real estate market is not a waste of time. Now, none of this applies if you're overwhelmed with motivated, qualified, you know, pre-approved buyers. Okay, if you have plenty of business that you don't, you know, you don't have room for it all, then of course you need to figure out how to not waste your time and where to spend your time most valuably. However, that's not the case for most agents in our industry today. Most of our agents are hungry, they're scared, they're desperate. They need to be out there in the world, wasting their time with a buyer who can't buy for 6 months, wasting their time with a seller who probably isn't going to hire them but is just looking for opinions, you know, looking for 3 or 4 CMAs. If you were to get a sign call while you're sitting on floor in your office, the guy says, hey, my agent's out of town on vacation. I'd really like to see one of your office listings. Can you show it to me? you need to run out and show them the darn house. Why? Because what else are you doing?
Right.
You're sitting in the office trying to work up some nerve to call a for sale by owner. You're taking a nap. You're, you know, working on your intensive farming campaign. you know, what are you doing instead? But if you're out in your car with a warm body sitting next to you looking at real estate, in my opinion, that's not a waste of time. Besides, I really like a full pipeline. And a lot of trainers will tell you everything you do needs to be leading to a sale in the next 30 days. Again, I'd say, you know, BS. I'll take a closing in 60 days. I'll take a closing in 90 days. I'll take a closing in 120 days. I'll take a closing in 2 years.
Sure.
But if I blow off people today because they're, quote, unquote, a waste of time, you think they're coming back to me?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So anytime, I will waste my time. In fact, I did a blog about this on Active Rain about the gas prices. And I said, you know, if you don't have time to waste with buyers, I'm happy to take them. I will drive them all over Denver. You know, I'll give you a referral fee, and don't you worry, they'll be very well taken care of. I'm happy to waste my time with someone who might lead me to a paycheck, or better yet, guess how many people that person knows?
Right.
Do they know 50 people? Do they know 100 people? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's about getting the word out there that this is what you're doing. I never understood that when people said, you know, I don't work with buyers. They just waste my time. I never understood it.
Well, and I really think that our industry needs to redefine what a good use of your time is. And, you know, again, the other thing that there's not enough of in our industry is learning your market.
Right.
And so, you know, that's by far the best way to build your business is to be an expert in your market. So anytime I get a chance to go learn my market a little more, that's not a waste of time. And if I can have a warm body sitting in the car next to me while I'm doing it, great. You know, I don't have a problem wasting my time as long as I'm doing one of those two things.
Absolutely. I mean, well, we talked about wasting your time, and I love the gas one, by the way, the gas post. I mean, you broke it down, and I want everybody, I mean, we've got that on the Real Estate Radio USA blog as well.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, you broke it down to where riding someone around for even a whole day or a half day, it's a matter of $5 or $6.
Not for the tank of gas. It's $5 or $6 more than you would have paid a year ago.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you didn't always not do anything.
Right.
It almost seems to me like people are trying to find excuses not to work.
You know, a good friend of mine said it really clearly was, you know, real estate agents work so hard to bring people to the door, and then they put up enormous roadblocks as soon as those people get there. And I, you know, that's, and this is a total different topic, but that's how I feel about buyer agency, and that's how I feel about the pre-qualification nonsense. I'm not going to pester someone about that. Get them in my car. Let's make friends. Let's have a good time. We'll talk about that stuff when it comes.
Yeah, because there's certain things you can do to get them qualified. I mean,
I don't care if they're qualified the day we go out.
Right.
They're a new person. I'm going to make friends with them.
Exactly.
Hey, and, you know.
You seem like a person that has a lot of friends.
Not really. I'm actually pretty shy.
Me too. That's why I have a radio show.
Yeah, that's why I write.
There you go. We talk about generating referrals and how important that is to any business. Share some techniques with us, please.
Sure. In our business, the real estate business, the absolute best way to generate referrals is to do a hell of a job for the clients you have. And it's that simple. You always put the clients, on my profile, if you've looked at one of my profiles, it says, the clients I'm honored to have today are far more important than the clients I hope to have tomorrow. And if you truly treat people that way, go above and beyond every chance, every time you get the chance, do more than you have to do, waste your time, you know, with that buyer who wants to go back to the house yet a third time to measure drapes and, you know, measure for drapes and he hasn't even put it under contract yet. Do a great job. for the clients you have. That's by far the best way to generate referrals. And I'll stand by that. It's better than newsletters. It's better than little dorky gifts that you drop by to people. I don't even do closing gifts. I don't need to do closing gifts. I did a really good job. That's
right.
What they're going to remember. I don't need to bribe people to send me referrals. And I tell you, I could give away a Rolex watch at every closing, and if I didn't do a good job, I'm not going to get that business. So doing a great job for the clients you have, knowing how to be a competent, exceptional real estate agent, you know, to stay in touch with people in a non-salesy way, you know, that is important. The other way to generate business, not necessarily referrals, but business, is to be a master of your market. And if you can go into a social event and talk intelligently about the real estate market, you're going to have a captive audience.
Exactly.
And people are going to ask you for your business cards.
Well, we all know that without having referrals, you can't really have any closings. And these referrals really are the birthing of leads. One of your specialties, in addition to sphere of influence, is actually making sure a transaction gets closed.
Right.
Some things that, some guidelines, some tips for those agents out there that may be having some trouble keeping these leads or making sure that the thing goes all the way to closing.
Well, that's a great question, and it's something, again, I don't think that people really spend enough time on, and it kind of goes back to what I just said. Doing a heck of a job for your clients includes staying on top of your transactions. I'm the most organized person on the planet, so it's very easy for me to keep track of dates and deadlines and make sure that we don't miss anything. But a long time ago, an agent in my office told me, she's like, I love doing deals with you, Jennifer, because they close. And she said, if I sell one of your listings, it's going to close. You know, I don't know. To me, it comes very naturally. You just stay on top of it. You don't get in fights unnecessarily. You always look for a win for everybody when you can. You know, you're a good negotiator. You don't beat people up just for the fun of beating them up, but you get your client what you want. A lot of it, to me, is just an understanding of human nature and putting the pieces and parts together that lead to a closing. Now, another thing that's huge, huge, huge for keeping your deals together is to have a handyman, you know, to have a handyman on call. I work in a market that is...
You're out in Denver, right?
Homes. Denver, Central Denver Historic Homes. You know, I sell mostly houses built in the early 1900s up to the 1950s.
Nice.
I once had a string of closings go... I had 29 closings in a row without one of them falling apart.
Oh.
And that was main, and you know, I mean, inspections, as you can imagine, in these old houses are, you know, they're challenging.
Nightmare.
And having a handyman, having a good roofer, having a good HVAC guy, having a team of people who know who you are, know they're going to get paid, know you're going to take care of them is huge in keeping your deals together.
Excellent.
Being prepared for an appraisal. You know, in my book, I talk about a lot of this. The book that's coming out just in a few weeks is, you know, how to be a competent real estate agent. And that includes keeping your deals together. And here's how you do that.
Well, you mentioned the book. Let's go the first book, Sell with Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When did you write it? And what was the inspiration?
Well, what's happening right now, I wrote Sell with Soul, I think it was first released in early 2007, so just a year and a half ago. And then the second edition of Sell with Soul is coming out the 1st of July. The inspiration for writing the book was actually, it was kind of funny, a girlfriend of mine had just gotten out of real estate school, and she was going through her training, and she called me and she said, Jennifer, you got to write a book on how to actually do this job. Nobody's teaching me how to do this. They're teaching me how to prospect. They're teaching me, you know, how to do open houses. They're teaching me how to farm. But nobody's teaching me what to do when I get a client. So I was like, oh, I can do that. And at the time, I was selling real estate. I had a full-time job, paid me very well. You know, I didn't intend to write the book to be an author. I just wrote the book because she kind of challenged me to do it. So I wrote Sell with Soul. the first edition, anyway, I released it. I self-published it, and I released it. And I didn't really, I mean, I designed the cover myself, you know.
Nice.
You know, it was kind of not the most professional book on the planet, but I never really expected it to be. Well, the reviews started coming in, and people saying, you know, this book changed my life.
Right.
I got tears when I, you know, and I'm going, oh, I might have something here.
Exactly.
So last winter or last fall, I was approached by a New York publishing house and said, you know, we'd really like to publish your next book. What do you say? And I talked to them and decided it wasn't a good fit. I'm too much of a control freak to turn it over to a publisher. But it really did get me thinking that, you know, people like this book. They're responding to it. I got to get a better package out there. So that was the reason for the new book, is it's now a very professional package. It's about 50% bigger. It's updated, you know, more for today's market. And, you know, it's coming out in a couple weeks, and it's gorgeous. And it's, I'm proud of it. I can't wait I'm so excited about it.
Well, when it comes out, you need to come back on and let us know how it's going. Maybe we give out a copy or two to a caller or two.
Yeah, I might even autograph it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, it comes out July 11th, and you can actually buy it now on my website. Well, you get the ebook now. I'm selling the first 1,000 copies. You can reserve one of the first 1,000 copies, and it'll be actually numbered and autographed. And if you buy it on my website now, you'll get the downloadable book right away. And then sometime in mid-July, you'll get the real book.
And that's sellwithsoul.com.
Yes, sir.
Sellwithsoul.com. I love that, Sell With Soul. I mean, it talks about everything that you're about.
Yeah.
Exactly the kind of thing that you're talking about. Talk about a branding that fits perfectly with the kind of person you are.
Thank you.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, you know, on the cover of the book, there are four words of the new book, and it's... what is it? Confidence, respect, confidence, and enthusiasm. And that, to me, is what, you know, Sell With Soul means.
That's beautiful. Well, I mean,
it's funny because I do see around Active Rain, I do see people now referring to Selling With Soul as if that's a, you know, that's a household word. And it's just, you know, that just puts tears in my eyes. It's exciting.
Well, I mean, you wrote something that a lot of people really responded to. I mean, it's and you wrote it from the heart, and it means something. I mean, it the techniques and what you talk about really work. So, of course, and that's one problem that I think needed being addressed. A lot of people go out there. They're from different professions or from different walks of life. You don't have to have the barrier to entry in this business is not as such that is keeping a lot of people out. So when people get in, they don't have a lot of experience. And a book like yours can really turn somebody's career around.
Well, what I love about the response that I've gotten to the book is that I actually speak to probably a minority of real estate agents, because I don't talk to them as if they're salespeople. I talk to them as if they're advisors. And so the people who have responded to it are exceptional real estate agents, because they're very good at what they do and they want to be good at what they do, but the training they're getting and the coaching they're getting goes so against their personality that they either quit or fail. And that's one thing, again, the soul, Sell With Soul brings in, is you don't have to change who you are to succeed in this business. You don't have to become somebody you don't recognize or someone you don't like. You can be yourself and you can succeed. If yourself is a natural outgoing salesperson, then by all means do that. But I'm not. I can't sell anything. And I've been very successful. So that's another message I really want to get out there. That
use what you got.
Yeah. And, you know, stay in your comfort zone.
Beautiful.
There's nothing wrong with your comfort zone.
It's where you get comfort.
It's, you know, you're an adult person. You've done just fine for your whole life in your comfort zone. Stay there. It's fine.
Absolutely. Well, Jennifer, we're almost out of time, but again, the website, sellwithsoul.com, right?
Yes.
All right. We're going to encourage everybody to go there. Plus, we're going to put a link to the website. I want to thank you again for taking the time, joining us on the program. Hopefully, we'll have you back on around July 11th when the new book comes out.
This was so fun. So I'm glad you guys had me on. This was a blast.
Well, keep up the articles. We know everybody loves to read them too. So
good.
We're gonna keep up with that, and we I want to talk to you again very, very soon.
All Thank you.
All right. Thanks again. And everybody, that's Jennifer Allen. We're going to take a quick break. Be back right after this with more, Barry. Hold on.